I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I guess you can use a snappy slogan like defund the police, but you know you've lost a big audience the minute you say it, which makes it a lot less likely that you're actually going to get the changes you want done. But if you instead say, let's reform the police department so that everybody's being treated fairly, you know, divert young people from getting into crime. And if there's a homeless guy, can maybe we send a mental health worker there instead of an armed unit that could end up resulting in a tragedy? Suddenly, a whole bunch of folks who might not otherwise listen to you are listening to you.
First of all, if you send an unarmed healthcare worker into a situation like that, it's not necessarily not going to end in tragedy. Let's just start with that point. It could still, for the healthcare worker, depending on what the situation is. And Barack Obama, why is he out here saying all this stuff now? Defund the police is a snappy slogan. Well, that's really easy and comfortable to say on December 2nd, after a summer of hell that this entire country had to go through, after an election that took place. Now he's got something to say? Strange. Must be very... Oh, he's selling a book. Never mind. Now I get it. Jeroy Murdoch, he joins us each and every Wednesday. Feels like it's been a long time, Jeroy, since I've been able to talk to you. I hope you're doing well. What do you think about the book tour that Barack and Michelle are benefiting from here and all these opinions that they can just comfortably say when it seems as though there's really no consequence?
Any good to talk to you. I think you were on out of town last week, and I was out of town the week before that. So.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Good to talk to you again. Yeah.
Good to talk to you again. You bet. Yeah. Well, again, this is a magical mystery tour on the part of Obama and his wife, peddling their. She's done one book. This is his third autobiography. So, we hear people say, "Oh, President Trump's a narcissist." Well, here we have got a man who's now on his third autobiography, and he's not even. I don't think he's even 60 years old yet. So you tell me if that's narcissistic or not.
A box set down the line here.
The Barack box set. There you go. They would probably be about maybe 1,500 pages if you had them all together, something like this. The latest book, I think, is 762 pages, I think it is, something like this. And I speculated the reason that Joe Biden hurt his foot, I guess he's broken some bones in his right foot. He's probably reading Obama's book and it fell on his foot and broke it. Rather embarrass Obama, he blamed it on his dog, Major, the German Shepherd. So I think that maybe is what happened there. But yeah, you're right. They're running around spouting their usual opinions. And Obama's saying that the only reason Trump got 74 million votes is because of all these angry white men who voted for him. Assuming all the angry white men voted for him. I think it comes out to about 32 million, 35 million, something like that. So there are about 40 million people who voted for Trump who are neither white nor male. They're either minority or female. So somehow, I guess, maybe those people also identified as white male on the day of the election. I mean, so this is ridiculous and absurd. And he also lashed out against Hispanics and said that the only reason Hispanics voted for Trump is because he shares their views on gay marriage. Well, this is kind of interesting. I looked up some stats on that, and to my surprise, the figures were even stronger than I imagined. According to a group called PRRI, they look at religion and politics. 68% of Hispanic Protestants favor gay marriage, and I almost fell off my chair when I read this. 78% of Hispanic Catholics favor gay marriage. And by the way, Donald J. Trump also favors gay marriage. So Obama is just completely pulling it out of thin air when he says that President Trump believes something he doesn't, and then accuses Hispanics of believing the same thing, which they don't. So it's just, again, more bluster and nonsense and falsehoods, if not outright lies, out of Obama. And I think what's most frustrating about all this sort of thing, and Michelle talking about what a hateful country it is, and that's why Trump got as many votes as he did. These people run around talking about this country as if it were some sort of a mecca of bigotry, as if this were South Africa during the days of apartheid or something like this. Last I checked, I could be wrong, I should go back and look at my American history books, but I think Obama was elected president with about 53% of the vote against a white man. Mm. And then in 2012, he's reelected against a white man with 51% of the vote. And if this is such a racist country, how is it that he and his wife spent not 4 years, but 8 years in the White House and got in there pretty comfortably? And these days, if you ask YouGov, they do surveys on this. Obama and his wife are the number one most popular man and woman in the United States of America, and also the number one most popular man and woman on the planet Earth. Wow. So rather than grumble and complain and grind their molars, these two ought to be grateful. They'd be thankful and thank this country for all the generosity and support, not me and maybe not you, but many tens of millions of our countrymen have shown them over and over and over again. Obama sold 1.7 million copies of his book in the first week. Michelle Obama sold 10 million copies of her book. It's still selling so well in hardback that they've not launched a paperback edition yet. So these two ought to show some gratitude rather than the endless spectacular Olympic grade ingratitude, which we seem to see out of them every time they open their mouths.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, DeRoy. It seems, at least at a minimum, like you'd want a spokesperson to have a little bit more credibility than somebody who was elected twice going around saying how much prejudice and how little opportunity there is.
Yeah, I mean, one thing to hear that from maybe a 19-year-old gangbanger who dropped out of school and is in jail for whatever reason, maybe he's got a real beef, they have no reason to complain. In addition to the tremendous political success I mentioned and their successful books, and I think they're worth, I don't know if it's $25, $30 million, maybe more. They've got a beautiful home in Martha's Vineyard. I think they've got a big house out in Palm Springs. They got a nice house in Washington, D.C. Anytime either of them wants to say anything, the cameras come running and people come to jot down their every word and every comment and every observation. They're not my cup of tea, but they're still the cup of tea for many, many, many people. And if this were the bastion of hatred that it is, you would think that white folks would want nothing to do with them, and they would be on the run and in hiding, given their high profile. It's exactly the opposite. And frankly, if this were such a racist country, why did either honestly or through some interesting shenanigans, one way or the other, 80 million ballots get cast on behalf of Joe Biden and his running mate, who last I checked is a black woman, not just a black person, but a black woman. If this is such a racist country, they should have lost in a landslide. And as it was, we'll see what the litigation and the recounts and the legal appeals show. But as of now, they look like they're well positioned to be sworn in as president and vice president in January, unless several judges and other folks come to our rescue. But if this were really such a racist country, it should have been good night, Irene, for both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris on election night. And that's not the case as of December 2, 2020.
Fox News contributor DeRoy Murdoch on with us right now. I want to ask you about, the legacy that Donald Trump will leave behind, let's just say for the next 4 years, because who knows if he's not the president for the next 4 years, if he'll run again in 2024. So mm-hmm. much is up in the air. We don't know. But mm-hmm. the way that the media has gotten away with branding Donald Trump as a racist. We listen to the words of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama and really indicating that, the danger in even the existence of Donald Trump as the president of the United States. It just says things. People talk about dog whistles all the time. Oh, it's funny to me that the dogs are the ones who hear the whistles, and it's always the leftists who are calling out the dog whistles. But when I think about how Donald Trump is going to be looked at outside of his presidency, I mean, I feel as though he is going to bear the burden of this branding that the mainstream media has put on him. But we've seen him do so much for minority communities in his administration. He had a lot more that he wants to continue to do. How do you feel like this is going to shake out in the history books with Donald Trump and what he was able to achieve as president of the United States?
Well, I think, unfortunately, the people who write history books tend to be more on the left than on the right. Hopefully there'll be something done about that over the years. But they'll continue to say that he's a racist and that the Trump years were years of bigotry and on and on and on and on. Well, if that's the case, why did he do so well as he did with black voters? According to the exit polls, his support among black folks went from 8% in 2016 up to 12. That means it increased by half. And specifically, he won 19% of black men and 9% of black women. And 20% rather in 2016, rather, he got 13% of black men and 4% of black women. So he went from 13 to 19 with black men and 4% to 9% among black women. So something must have gone right for him to have done that much better with black folks. He also did very well with Hispanics, 46% of the vote in Florida, I believe, a Hispanic vote in Florida, I should say. And the reason is people saw what he did. First of all, until COVID-19 came along, having a tremendously vibrant economy in which he saw the lowest black and Hispanic unemployment rate in American history. We have seen the highest median household income in American history and the lowest poverty rate in American history, including the first time poverty for black Americans fell below the 20% level ever. I believe more people were brought out of poverty under President Trump than the equivalent number across all the years with the Great Society programs under Lyndon Johnson all the way through Obama. And then you've had specific help with things like historically black colleges and universities, the opportunity zones, I think something like 8,100, I believe, opportunity zones, bringing something like $75 billion worth of private investment into low-income areas, many of them Hispanic and black neighborhoods. And then you had the First Step Act, which was the criminal justice reform, which many people on the left begged Obama to do, Obama and Biden. They didn't do it. They didn't do a damn thing about it for 8 years. And then here comes, quote-unquote, Mr. Racist Donald J. Trump. And within his first 2 years, he signed the First Step Act, and a lot of people who were locked up for nonviolent drug crimes were given an opportunity to go back and try to make something productive of themselves. Many of those were black people. So if he were the racist that the left claims he is, Trump wouldn't have done any of these things. He would have focused on other matters and let the black prisoners stay in jail, let the historically black colleges and universities struggle for cash, and not do anything that would help the economy and allow the lowest number of blacks and Hispanics to be unemployed in this country since we've been keeping records. So I hope that those accomplishments, among others, get out. But I do not trust the left to make these points. They'll continue to say that he's basically a Klansman in a blue suit. And I think it's really up to conservatives to point out the truth and explain it over and over and over and over again, probably for decades.
Fox News contributor DeRoy Murdoch talking with us right now. DeRoy, before we run out of time, do you think that here in 2020, are we a more racist nation than we were, say, 20 years ago or less?
That's interesting. I don't know if we're more racist per se. We're certainly more racially sensitive and racially oversensitive and maybe use the word racially paranoid. I just, by coincidence, last night was on YouTube and I stumbled upon Don Rickles hosting Saturday Night Live in 1984. Oh. This is NBC, big network, major show. This isn't some little fringe thing. And boy, the racial humor, and he made fun of black people, he made fun of Puerto Ricans, he made fun of Swedish people, he made fun of everybody. It was hilarious. Everyone loved it. Everyone laughed like crazy. It's about 10 minutes long. You can look it up on YouTube. It's gold. I emailed a bunch of friends. Boy, you try to do that now, and I think the show would be off the air and the comedian would be under arrest. And that's really sad. And the way that we used to handle our racial differences in this country is we laughed about them. We thought it was hilarious. We had a great time. And now you can't bring this stuff up unless you're, you know, genuflecting and crossing yourself and watching your every single solitary vowel and consonant to make sure you don't have either of them out of place, or you'll be canceled and that will be the end of your career. And you'll probably have to go home and hide under your bed for the rest of your life.
Joy, we are so grateful to be able to talk with you each week. We look forward to having you back again next week. And I don't know if you're going to finish that Barack Obama book, but you can give us the news notes if you do. And then you got to hurry because there could be another autobiography coming anytime now.
Well, I will wear my ski boots so that if I drop the book, it won't break my foot bones. I recommend that to you, any of your listeners, if they pick that book up.
Thanks, Joy. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll catch you up on the news of the day here real quick. But also, I want to do something a little fun because I don't know, Ryan and Katie, did you come up? Did you find some things that I asked you about today?
I did.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I can grab some real quick.
So I've been Christmas shopping. Have you all been Christmas shopping? Of course you have.
Yes.
You go like some of the things that you can buy. You know, I grew up with the phrase "only in America," except for most of the stuff is coming from China, so that's not even actually accurate anymore. But I wanted to highlight some of the most ridiculous things that you can give for, like, the totally gimmicky things where it's like you've shopped so much that you're like, I think I need that, or I think Dad would really love that. And if you, like, looked back on that gift in March, you'd be like, nobody needs that. We're going to talk about some of these gifts, and then we're going to decide if maybe, well, I'd kind of like to have that. So Ryan, Katie, and I have all picked some out. We're going to discuss some of these crazy gifts as well when we return. And I want to remind you, we are going to, it's not happening right now, so don't call right now. We're going to be giving away another holiday light pack giveaway. You're going to get vehicle passes to Winter Wonderland at Tillis Park, a lot of lights at St. Charles Family Arena, Wonderlight Christmas at Worldwide Technology Raceway, admission to four to the Zoo Wild Lights at the St. Louis Zoo. This is crazy. So we're giving this away. Ryan is going to be giving it away sometime in the remainder of the show. And when he does, he will give you the phone numbers to call. It's not right now. But I just wanted to tell you when we get there what you're going to win. So stick around. Keep listening. We've got that coming up for you very soon. Back in a second.
97.1 FM Talk, Katie Fry Show. And he's working on getting back with us really temporarily here. She'll be back any second. She'll just chime in. And we should, you know what we should do, Katie? We should take the show completely off the rails, be talking about something so amazingly ridiculous that when she comes in, she'll think that we absolutely just ruined everything.
You know, Ryan, if that deed is up to anyone, it is up to you. You can make that happen.
Man, I honestly, some of these interviews that we've done today, especially with Chris Farrell from Judicial Watch, some of those while we're doing them, I know that you work on this and you're getting them up on the website, but I can't wait to be done at 3 because I love retweeting and looking for quotes and that stuff.
Yeah.
Because some of it is so, you know, if you're watching for the news right now with some of these cases and I'm watching them like a hawk. I know a lot of people aren't, but I am. And I love pulling quotes and just seeing, you know, adding to the symphony of cases and anomalies that are out there, which really you can't find anywhere else. We've talked about that a little bit on the show, just that the media isn't reporting almost any of this. I follow Real Clear Politics somewhat, and they've been reporting on it a little bit, but everybody's waiting for it to sort of crack the surface before they're willing to talk about it. Therefore, nobody talks about it, because nobody's willing to sort of be the first to crack it. And so I love those interviews for that reason, because you're going, instead of trying to navigate through the different articles that may mention it or may not, you know, Bill Barr comes out yesterday and says one very small thing. Mm-hmm. And so that becomes news because they were able to take it sort of out of context, although not lie. Just that he said, look, we're looking at this, and we carried the Kayleigh McEnany press conference at the beginning of the show. She shed great light on that. And so if any of these things I'm talking about you missed, you can listen to it on Rewind, or you can download the podcast when we get done here at 3. But she said when Bill Barr came out and said that, what he was talking about is criminal investigations, because that's what they do at the Department of Justice. They're not necessarily looking for civil litigation cases in election fraud, which is what most of the cases are right now. They're looking for criminal cases. Now, if they're able to find substantial ones, they become criminal cases, but it's not his job and the Department of Justice to look for specifically cases that might overturn an election. That's not what they do. So having that context, I thought, helped a lot. And of course, like we said, He didn't say that he didn't find any. He said that he hadn't noticed anything in the investigations that were put on his table that would overturn the election.
So whenever you heard that Bill Barr came out yesterday, we announced this on the show. Did that surprise you? Did it not surprise you because of the information that you just laid out? Or were you like, gosh, I wonder what Trump is thinking right now when Bill Barr says something like this? Like, what was your reaction?
I don't know what to think about Bill Barr. I really don't. I hope that he's... I used to think this about John Roberts, the Supreme Court Justice John Roberts, that he seemed to be fair. in the last couple of years, I think that he's drifted away from being fair. I thought he tried to be nonpartisan earlier, and then I have seen the light. I think that he has actually done the opposite of that in the last couple of years and become hyper-partisan and tried to sort of politicize the public appearance of the court instead of deciding cases on their own merit. So I say that to say I still, the jury's still out for me on Bill Barr, mm-hmm. because he doesn't seem to play games. He comes out and he does interviews and just gives the facts. And I like that. But then you also wonder, is there anything more you could be doing? You're in a high profile position and justice kind of stops at your feet. And yet we haven't really seen, and he's kind of said this, you get skeptical at some point that if there is crime happening, that these people are going to prosecute it, that they're just going to kind of play the game and put things forth and try to get them maybe into Senate hearings. I mean, not that that's his responsibility, but they may get there. They may get a little bit of coverage, but not really. And then they go away. So we're all still kind of waiting on the Durham report. We're waiting to see throughout this whole process what Bill Barr is doing. Yesterday kind of shined more light on that to me and said that he's probably not going to be the guy who has the bombshell anyway, but that he's doing his job. And is that good enough right now? I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
I feel like it's just a crazy thing to have these press briefings that we haven't had in a while and to see Kaylee answer some of these questions that are incredibly pressing. And of course, most of her answers were, you know, I haven't talked to the president about that personally. This is not in my jurisdiction, basically. The information needs to come out if Trump is still going to keep moving forward. And that's all I know of it. I want the information. I think, Ryan, you've been fiending for the information for quite some time.
Yes.
And that's what we need to keep moving forward. I just think that right now it's just very interesting to see Bill Barr come out and say what he did yesterday and what's going to develop. We don't know. That's why we got to sit and wait and be patient.
Speaking of being patient.
What are we talking about, guys?
Some heavy stuff. Ryan said, should we start off with the funny stuff that Annie wants to talk about? I'm like, nah, let's let her.
No, let's do a deep dive.
Annie's not here. Annie's let's back. Get down to business. Yeah. Let's talk about something serious. It's the first time that's happened in a long time.
Yes, it is.
And I'm going to tell you what happened here. I clicked on a link that Ryan sent me and everything, it went boop. And then everything went up. Yes. Uh-oh. I'm afraid to click on this
Ryan.
Link.
I'm afraid to click on it again, too.
Oh, man. I'm going to copy and paste it. If I go away this time, now you know. This shows the ridiculousness of the nature of these gifts that were. Oh, here it is. It loaded. It loaded once we came back. So what we were discussing off air is some of these gifts that you see, once you get into the idea of buying gifts for people, it ends up, you know, you're shopping a lot more than you normally would shop for people. You shop for a birthday gift for somebody. You're buying a gift, right? Or you're thinking about one person and one gift giving experience. When you're buying gifts for all sorts of people, I think you start to kind of get to the place where you're not thinking clearly. You've kind of gotten yourself into this stupor of I have to spend money and I have to check things off of a list for people. Mm-hmm. What can I buy that they're not going to get from a bunch of other people? Ryan's going to start with his hammer and axe mini beer pong drinking game catapult.
What?
Portable wooden foldable tabletop game, $24.99 at Walmart.
I have this.
Oh no, you're
kidding
me. And
here we go. You have this? For the low price of $24.99, have you ever played it?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you good at it?
No, it's so fun, and it is so much harder than real beer pong.
Wait, so that was my criticism, is why wouldn't, if you're playing beer pong, all you need is a ping pong ball because you've already got glasses, why would you need the set?
Ryan, this is a cool gift. This is a cool gift. This is not a gimmick gift. And fake news. Fake news all around.
Seriously, it's just cups and balls.
Like, yeah, if you don't have, so David and I don't have a beer pong table or a ping pong table, but you know, sometimes we like to spend a Friday night, just he and I, getting a couple beers down and
you
having
just need a table. You don't need a ping pong table.
Hey, Ryan, when was the last time you and your wife had an evening of, we need to drink some beer, so let's get the beer pong out and play beer pong. When was the last time you and your wife, Katie, decided to pass some time that way?
You know what? Looking back before kids, I would say never. I would say even before
kids. In the expanse of all time, it has not ever happened.
Never.
So you don't want the mess. You don't want the cleanup. You don't want to have to clear off a table. So you get out this bad boy.
Amy on YouTube says, I'm totally buying the Hammer and Axe beer pong game for my friend.
Great. This is backfiring.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, this is what I think. Like, you see this, and to people like Ryan and me, like, this is the biggest waste of money that exists on the face of the planet. Katie's like, I have it. And I'm actually skilled.
Not just I want
at this
it. I
game.
Have it.
Yeah. I've got one here, and we're going to put this one up on the screen if you want to watch along with us. I mean, I really do think we're probably going to be doing some shopping for you here right now. And we'll continue this into the next segment unless my internet craps out again. And then Ryan and Katie will talk about important things.
Bill Barr.
Where did it go? I just added it up here. All right. I'm putting this here up on the screen. You can watch us at facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. We will, of course, explain these to you. This is the thing that made me come up with this stupid segment. This is a 0.3 cubic feet, 6-can retro mini fridge, and you can get it in a bunch of different colors. And the reason why this makes me mad is because I do kind of want it because it's cute.
It's cute.
But it's $44.99. I'm showing it at Home Depot here. And it is a mini fridge that holds, 6 cans of soda.
Oh, wow.
Like, where are you in your office? Do you only want... Look at that little thing.
Ugh.
It just holds 6 cans of soda.
Pointless.
Okay, I've bought one of these before.
I thought you would be somebody who would want... Like, I thought if Ryan has to change up his situation, that it would be good for him to have in reach... a six pack of whatever, but look at how tiny this thing is on the shelf.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
It's like maybe I don't even know that it's 12 inches wide.
It looks probably more like a decoration.
Yeah, it's probably about 12 inches tall, 10 inches wide. I don't know. It probably tells you what it is here.
In my defense, the one that I bought had like Coca-Cola paraphernalia all over it, and the person I bought it for collects Coca-Cola stuff. So
so you bought it for somebody else.
I bought it for somebody else. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, it is cute
it
though,
is a waste
and I do
of time.
Like the colors.
you have to think about how long does it take to get 6 cans of soda or beer cold?
Mm-hmm.
And like every time you open that thing, how much of that cold air is going to go out? And like how quickly are you going to go through those 6 drinks? Like it just seems so ridiculous. It says ideal for Zoom happy hours.
Let's get
not
wasted.
Just for drinks, it's perfect for keeping makeup fresh. What? Take it with you, plugs into 12-volt car adapter. Maybe the only thing that I'm seeing here that makes it worthwhile to purchase is a travel cooler. Yeah. And it looks like a mini old refrigerator. So
the problem is you'd have to restock it so dang often.
Yes.
Yep. And it would take forever for it to get cold again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, you can't even put a full, I mean, you can't put a full 12-pack in that thing, let alone a 24-pack.
Yeah, brother.
Hey, somebody just bought us a beer pong
Mark
table.
Mark Reed just sent us a YouTube super chat for $9.99 for the beer pong table for the fans.
I'll whip some butts in beer pong if necessary.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. I can't wait to hear what Katie thinks is useless. I'm going to click on this link, and hopefully I'll be back along with Ryan and Katie after the break. So stick around. We're going to return in theory. Don't go away. I will try not to either. All right. So we wanted to share with you some things. This we've been doing our Christmas shopping. Some stupid things that you might get duped into buying. And as we are sharing these with you, a lot of you are commenting on the YouTube, the Annie Fry YouTube channel and the Annie Fry Show Facebook page that you are now going to buy this for, like, your sister. So I don't know if this is having the effect that I thought it would have, but these are things that we've seen while we were shopping and we're like, what the ever-loving heck is this? This is from Katie. Grump Notebooks. Tell us about Grump Notebooks.
Okay, so... Annie, you're the first person I thought. I'm like, maybe I'll get Annie one of these things. So these are the three. These are your options.
Who would like this thing that says on the front of it, things that annoy me?
Anger.
I thought immediately of you, Annie.
Daily disappointments. Fresh rants. And I said, I would put Annie in this category. I could buy this gift and you would laugh and I think you would love it. But I also think I could buy any conservative this gift. And they would laugh and they would love it. Daily disappointments. So this is the description. having a bad day or some nasty thought? Well, pour all your grievances into this notebook that's made specifically for those grumps of the world. And you're not really a grump of the world.
Yeah, you're regretting this decision right those, now. Shouldn't have admitted that out loud.
Those with especially grumpy dispositions may find one notebook to be insufficient for recording their complaints, so we made a set of three.
These are for people who have hate flowing from their hearts 24 hours a day. I thought of you, Annie.
No! That's
Annie,
not true.
In this merriment season where we show our loved ones how we feel about them and want them to feel cared for and compassionate.
But
here's
like
a book that you can fill out called Daily Disappointments.
It was either going to be this or a dream notebook. You decide.
You live in misery. Why not write it down all day?
Oh, my gosh.
I just thought, I was like, Annie never sleeps, and it's because your brain doesn't turn off. So maybe part of that, besides the ideas, is also the things that annoy you throughout the day. And this is a place, this is a box that you can spew.
I don't know, Katie. Back to back, this commented with your and Tony's gross misjudgment of my character yesterday about when I was saying that I used to judge people's Christmas decorations, but now I think there's not enough Christmas, and you should celebrate however you want. And you guys are like, oh, that was very telling.
It's 2:30 in the morning. I can't go to sleep. I'm going to get out my grump notebook and write about it.
Annie, I've got just what you need. There's something that I saw, and it immediately made me think of you.
You're not a grump. You're
yeah,
not
whatever.
A grump.
Yeah.
I just love it. Fresh rants.
I get it. I understand. You love my fresh rants. I'm
going to
buy
rants.
One of these books. I'm going to fill it out, and I'm going to give it to you for next Christmas. That's how this is
it's
going
all about
down.
Katie.
Things to work on as producer or just in life in general.
General complaints about Katie. I'm going to X out in Sharpie the title of the book.
Makes assumptions about people a lot.
Fresh rants, .. about Katie Fitzpatrick. Gets coronavirus during the election. Broadcast from kitchen table. In a room with tall ceilings and dog barking.
Most important day of 2020 gets
no,
coronavirus.
Actually, of our time on the air so far.
God, I forgot about that one. Darn it.
I didn't. I remember it. It ended up being okay. All right, Ryan, this is what you're going to get Katie, I heard.
Oh, no, because I won't spend that much. But this goes into the category.
This is 167 reviews, and it's got 5 stars.
Yeah, it's dumb. And 167 dumb people bought it. And it's a Yorkshire Terrier custom felted dog slipper.
Is it taxidermy?
No.
Oh, okay.
See, that's the thing.
It's not a real dog.
It's not turning your actual dead dog into slippers, which I actually think would be kind of cool.
Oh, my gosh.
No, this
How do you
is,
do that into two?
This is just Write picking a breed and being like, look, it's your dog, but it's any breed, and you got to spend $100 on it.
Stupid.
Dumb. Any slipper that looks like anything? I just don't like
it. The fur is what's throwing me off because that looks like it could be from an actual dog. And that scares
first
me.
First review is beautiful, unique, and comfortable slippers. Thank you, Louise.
Slippers that Creepy. Look like weird stuff and have like weird shapes and stuff, they always sound like a good idea and they're fun to open, but nobody ever wears them. And if somebody's going to tell me I'm wrong, I know, but.
Marjorie says, 5 stars. These slippers are so adorable. I bought a pair of raccoons for my husband and bunnies for me. We both love them. Your husband doesn't love them. Your husband is a liar and probably a really good husband.
What in the heck?
Gross. How'd you come across those?
I don't know. I hate slippers that look like things because they're just clumsy and they're hard to walk in.
So did you Google slippers that
look
like things?
So I Googled house shoes that look like things. I found those.
This is one from the audience.
A Yorkshire Terrier.
I'm excited to share this one. This is from, was it? Let's see. I got to make sure. I'll find the credit here. It was from Michael on Facebook. This is a burrito blanket. It's a giant flour tortilla throw blanket.
Oh,
soft
no.
and comfortable flannel taco blanket for kids. It's a big blanket that looks like a tortilla or maybe like the moon. It's hard to tell. It's a circle, and it's there for the best deal price of $23.99. Prime shipping?
Okay.
You can get one that's 71 inches wide.
Wait.
I wouldn't mind that.
What about this one?
Remember whenever you got with your siblings and you guys were doing like little slumber parties in the living room and you unzipped your sleeping bag and you'd roll each other up like burritos? No.
No, I don't remember that.
Okay. Why did that with my siblings
and my friends? This is before or after you get out the axe beer pong.
Wait, yeah. This is like 2 o'clock in the morning, folks. We're taking vodka shots.
Right.
You can get it in pizza as well. Look at that. That looks terrible. Ew. It's just a big circle blanket. One of them you can get it in two. It says color, red, but it's a pizza. It's a pepperoni pizza, and the other one is a tortilla.
Oh,
it doesn't look nice at all.
Here's my problem with this gift: is that it's actually kind of funny and it's not outrageously priced, but it's a circle. What kind of, does anybody use a circle blanket? How do you use one properly?
You wrap someone up in it.
I mean, as long as it's big enough, it doesn't.
I mean, if you're just wrapping somebody up in it to have fun, then I guess you get the burrito blanket. Everybody's having
a
good time.
I like this idea for a kid.
But
it's difficult to use a circle blanket. Why do you need it to be a square or a rectangle?
Wait, do you have a circle blanket?
No.
I don't know. I've never really, But why does it matter? Why would
because
it be hard to use?
It would be hard to pull the edges up around your face when you get
why
cold.
Why do you put the edges? I mean, as long as it's the length of your body, it's going to cover you.
I don't know. It seems like, you know, as you turn around and while you're sleeping.
You aren't the actual shape of the rectangle blanket that you're using.
No, but it's symmetrical and it works. And your brain says, hey, I know I have this much more of this blanket before
this
it comes
isn't
off.
About the physical process of covering yourself up. This is about your brain's relationship with said circle blanket.
Yes.
That you're struggling with.
I hate it.
Well, I will pose this question also. Who wraps somebody up in a pizza?
Well, Katie.
Me.
Sleepovers.
Me.
Okay.
I did. It's a great gift for kids.
Oh, my gosh.
I get the tortilla, but not the pizza.
Katie, if I got a blanket for you that was like circle like this and it just had Ryan's face on it, would you use it?
I think that might be.
Would you wear a shirt with my face on it?
I would wear a shirt with your face on it.
I just got you your Christmas gift then.
Amy's getting you a shirt with Ryan's face on it too. Amy says blankets need to be square. I understand like why most of them are, but I don't think that they would become more difficult to use. I mean, I don't know that the requirement there is the knowledge base that you need to use a blanket.
Look, Carlo just says fold it in half. No, then you just make a semicircle. That doesn't fix the problem. And you have a shorter blanket.
I have one.
Did you send that?
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Okay, so I'm putting this one up
here now. I hope you're
so of any of these that we've shown right now, do you, Ryan, would you buy any of them? Katie would buy all of them.
Every single one.
Well, I did buy that fridge kind of, so I guess I'll go with the fridge.
Okay.
Even though it's dumb.
Okay. Now, this initially, I was like, bleh, this is stupid. But now I feel like I'm getting conned into liking it.
That's how it starts.
Yes. It's a homesick candle. So if you were unable to go to Thanksgiving or unable to go to Christmas with your family and they live in Chicago or they live in St. Louis, you are able to capture the scent of St. Louis, which is hot garbage.
I'm just going to say, what does St. Louis smell like that you want to burn in a candle?
Whatever I was looking at this and looking at the reviews, I'm like, in what city does it smell splendid? Does it smell great that you want to have that and burn it in your home?
I bet Texas smells nice.
Smells like freedom.
You know where it probably
Listen
smells
to
really
you.
Gross is Miami.
Smells what?
Gross.
Miami?
It's real hot and humid all the time.
I don't know.
They've got a lot
of flavor and flair down there. I need to know more about this. I wonder. Here's a Florida candle. So we have an Austin candle, a Florida candle.
There was a Chicago candle.
There's a Chicago candle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there really a St. Louis one?
I don't know. I didn't look.
Hot garbage.
She was so disinterested.
Yes.
I don't even care if there's one. Amy Cordy with Illinois Policy when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.